Welcome to the Eye of the Beholder podcast. Here we will be reviewing the book, The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison, also a winner of a Nobel Peace Prize. So, I'm here with
Dr. Wright,
Deja Glover,
Jason Birchai,
Professor King,
and Campbell Fowler. So, we read the first three chapters of this book, and we'll give our first impressions and a little recap. So, let's start.
Alright, so we kind of start off the book in Claudia's perspective, even though Pecola is our main character. We kind of get a background into their lives, and then her older sister, and how Pecola is, integrated and then into their new life.
Yeah. And even before that, we start with this kind of generic story of a family with a mother, father, Dick and Jane in a house with it's just a random.
That's the prologue.
Yeah. And throughout the story, we see this constantly repeated but jumbled up into with no spaces and anything. And we kind of see the deterioration of this thought. And I'm wondering, let me not get ahead of myself, but I'm wondering if that relates to the themes that's shown throughout the book.
Well, when you look at chapter one, right, I think the most interesting part to me was the way that Pecola is introduced to the story. Mm. Just she just kind of dropped off at the MacTier house and we're like, not that we don't, we end up learning more about her as the story goes on, but I feel like she's more of a mysterious character for her to be a main character. It's I guess for all the books that we've read in class this year, it's we could tell you their motivation, their drive, their what they want in life. But Pecola is just maybe it's because she's younger.
Yeah.
But it's just
I agree with that because
we don't really know a lot about her.
Yeah, I agree with that because every time somebody asks her something, she's I don't know. She never has a strong opinion for herself. It's always
she's very passive.
Yeah. It's always her new sisters who kind of formed opinions for her.
We can even see that when they got yelled at about her drinking too much milk and they were trying to decide what to do. And then on page 26, she says, what you want to do, Pecola? I don't care. She said, anything you want. She's kind of the background. She kind of since she's new to the family, she kind of just wants to blend in.
Go with the flow.
Yeah, go with the flow, not try to stick out or kind of be a leader in a sense.
Yeah. And another thing that this chapter does really well is kind of paint the situation that they're all in. It's they don't seem they doing well. They in the mines. I constantly hear them talking about coal and stuff. Maybe they live in an industrial area. And she throwing up on herself is crazy. It's just looking bad.
And when does this take place?
Ohio,
1940s.
That's what I thought it was. Because
they talk about, which president was it? They talk about Henry Ford and who else? Henry Ford, Roosevelt, and the CCC camps.
Yeah.
Which I did look up, and it
are
was
those Japanese?
No. Oh, okay. It's kind of a reform for men who need work.
Yeah, we can also see that with the Shirley Temple being on TV and some people.
I'm gonna say the Mary Janes. That's kind of like an old timey candy.
And speaking of Shirley Temple, that's a big symbol throughout this story. We see this with Claudia's view of white structures around it. When she talks about Shirley Temple, she I kind of hated Shirley because she's dancing with Bojangles, which she feels is her friend, her uncle, her dad, which is her culture basically. So she feels Shirley's invading her culture and she should be there chilling with her culture, being happy. But instead, some white girl for her, so she don't like her. But her siblings don't really realize this. And I thought a really good sentence that pointed this out was, I had not yet arrived at the turning point in the development of my psyche. Yeah. Which would allow me to love her. Why, what I felt at the time was unsullied hatred. But before that, a stranger, more frightening thing than hatred for all Shirley Temples of the world. And I'm like, that's kind of a complex stuff for a little girl. Mm-hmm. But she really realizes, like, I'm not rocking with that.
I don't, I think it's just because we don't really get a lot about the MacTier household in these first three. Like, we hear, like, chapter one, and it's just, like, giving us, I feel like it's just introducing us to the characters. But I don't think we get that much of a family dynamic yet.
Yeah.
So I think, like, it'll take a little bit longer for us to realize, like, oh, this is why. I think we get why she thinks this way, but, like, to have a deeper understanding of why she feels that way.
I kind of disagree with the MacTiers and how we don't get a family dynamic. I think we do get a family dynamic. I think it's kind of, especially for the kids versus the parents, it's kind of a, like, seen but not be heard type of thing. She often talks about how they're talked to, like they're talked to, but, like, they really don't have conversation between. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just, like, talked to, like dogs, basically. They don't have an opinion. And, like, we can kind of see that the mother is, like, I would say, like, abusive in a way. Because, they know, like, even in when she's yelling at them, they know not to go in there, not to, like, get her riled up even more. Because they know how she is. Like, we kind of see the dynamic of them, well, I guess being in a child's place, in a sense. And not having the freedom to kind of be who they are. Because they know that this big mother figure is, like, kind of towering over them like that.
And also, to speak on that family dynamic, Claudia kind of seems, in my opinion, closest with the mom in a way, because Claudia, I think, I don't know if it's in this chapter, but she always talks about how she wants to experience the things that the mom sings about, like losing a man or something like that. But the other two kids, Pacola and I'm blanking.
Frida.
Yeah. They kind of, like, just leave her out the way. Kind of, like, watch Shirley Temple, whatever. But she kind of wants to experience where her mother is coming from. So I feel like she has a closer relationship with her mom compared to the other two.
I just, like, to go back for, like, 5 seconds. I want to talk about the Shirley Temple versus the Mary Jane thing and how Pacola feels about Mary Jane and how Claudia feels about Shirley Temple. Like Campbell says, she obviously hates her. She does not love her. And she talks very badly about her, like about Shirley Temple. But in 150, you go to eat the candy is to somehow eat the eyes, eat Mary Jane, love Mary Jane, be Mary Jane. So when she's eating this candy, she's kind of consuming Mary Jane and kind of consuming wanting to be white and that whiteness and how it's kind of like prevalent in this kind of society right now and wanting to be, you know, basically beautiful in a sense, which beauty definitely comes up and is kind of like a very big theme within this book because, you know, they talk a lot about ugliness and like where her ugliness came from and how her whole family is like the quote unquote ugly.
Yeah, and I think this is like, I think this is closer to chapter 3, but they clearly like equate, and I don't think the book is trying to do this, but I think it's more just the thought process of the No, what's Piccolo's last name? What's her last name? What's her family?
The Breedlove.
Yes, I think they are very clear that they are the ones equating being black to being ugly. Because it's like, I think Morrison is trying to explain, like, oh no, to be black isn't to be ugly. Mm. They just believe that because they're black, they're ugly. So it's like, it's all about, she's kind of just saying, if you believe this in your head, then yes, you are ugly.
I also want to talk about the self-hatred between her because she talks about, I believe her nose. She said her teeth were good. At least her nose wasn't big and flat like some of those who thought they were so cute. Mm-hmm. You know, most that's an African feature. So to her, African features equal ugly. And she is black, so that she has some self-hating sense because of how much white beauty or European beauty standards is, like, it's such a big thing in this world.
And they talk about, like, their high cheekbones, their, they're saying big lips. Like, they just talk about that, like, and it's, I don't think Morrison's putting it into a negative connotation. I think the breed loves are putting it into a negative connotation. Because, like you said, it's self-hatred.
Yeah.
You know?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Professor.
No, go ahead.
All right. I also agree, it's not only the breed love, there's also the mom of, in the beginning, she kind of, when, who's having their period? It's Pacola having their period.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She automatically believes, I'm pretty sure the neighbor is white, right?
Yeah, neighbor's white.
She automatically believes, like, a little kid, yeah. And she was white. She's talking about they being nasty. And she didn't really, like, assess the situation. She just went straight for punishment. And then after, when Frida kind of explained it. And
no, she, I don't even think, like, she was listening to her. She just peeped. Like, yeah. I think the pad ends up falling out.
Yeah.
And then she saw it. She watched
it. Oh, and then she's like, oh, my gosh. So it's like you said earlier. Yeah. The kids are not hurt.
Exactly. She only answers to, like, white figures in a way.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So, I'm like, so even seeing that, like, as a young kid, you're like, I'm not getting hurt. But this little girl getting hurt, like, there's obviously a power dynamic in that. So, it's already in the back of their minds that, like, white people have a stronger voice than them, even in their own families. So, I thought that was interesting.
And then, I kind of want to get on the subject of eyes, in a sense. They talk a lot about eyes and, like, its constant motif. On 40, it says Choli, which I think is her dad. Choli had the meanest eyes in town. Like, we always see eyes and how she wants blue eyes. And then on 46, it says, we mustn't do bad things in front of those pretty eyes. Mm-hmm. Eyes is a constant motif. Like obviously, eyes are, like, kind of the entrance of the soul, in a sense. Like, eyes have such a big, like, part in, I guess, technically our body system. But, like, the constant of...
They say the first, like, you notice, like, you said, you stare into somebody's soul when you look at their eyes. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, the constant bringing up of eyes, it's like, kind of, I think, our biggest motif in this book.
Mm-hmm. Also, kind of, I feel like y'all should touch upon how the dynamic between the Bree Loves relationship, because they made it seem like they depended on each other, even though it was, like, mad abusive. It was like, do you want to speak on that?
Charlie Breedlove, which was Bacola's father, like, burned down their house, and it said that he was a rapist as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting out of jail as well.
Wait, for
real? Yeah. He got out of jail, and that's...
Did they say that?
Like, yeah. I don't remember what page it was, but they talked about, like, her relationship with her father.
Yeah, I think that, like... And, oh, we didn't really talk about, like, chapter 2, because it's, like, it's kind of a filler chapter, but I think it does a good job of setting up the next chapter, because it's like, for a lot of kids, home, having a stable home is like something that they'll only dream of. But, like, she seems to have, like, a stable house, but that's it. Because you look at her relationship with her parents is bad. Her, like, her little brother is, like, very obviously influenced by the relationship between her parents.
Mm.
And she just, like, it describes her just, like, I think it was, it was like she just wanted to basically lay in her bed and just
disappear.
And disappear and do nothing.
Mm.
So, like, I think that even though, like, the picture that we get of the house is very grim, it's all that she has that she could be like, dang, like, I like this place.
Mm.
All
right. Next week on the Eye of the Beholder podcast, we will discuss literary lenses.
Mm. Stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned. Dropping,
Next week. Thank you.